to be it next week early.
No, someone did say that.
For those who wish to take it earlier, are there such people who want to talk earlier or not? Yeah? I can be around. Alright, is this room open? Is there any classes room for this?
I think till 4:30.
I got 5:20 at the beginning, 5:25. Oh yeah, you can stay as long as you want. You can stay until midnight probably, but I want to start early, but also those who wish to end early, you can do so. Okay. Eric Kavav, we learned about Sameach, this is growth. First time, of course, is in violation of the malacha of Zorea, of planting. Not only if you plant it, but even if you water. To be it next week early. For those who wish to take it earlier, are there some people who want to talk earlier or not? I can be around. Alright, is this room open? Is there any classes room for this?
I think till 4:30.
I got 5:20 at the beginning, 5:25. Oh yeah, you can stay as long as you want. You can stay until midnight probably, but I want to start early for those who can do. Wish to end earlier, you can do so. Okay. Eric Kavav, we learned about Sameach, this is growth. First time, of course, is in violation of the malacha of Zorea, of planting. Not only if you plant it, but even if you water them on Shabbos. You can't water anything on Shabbos. The problem, if you have a sink, and the water comes out of the pipe and starts watering the grass, that's a serious problem. Summer camps in the try very hard to avoid this. Or if, let's say, you're in the backyard, you want to wash the people are dying, you can't do it. If the water's going on the grass, no, that's not your intention. We call it sick ratio. And sick ratio is inevitable. It's a problem. Do it. Just as you may not plant or water things, you also may not remove things from the ground. You can't, obviously. Can't pull things off the ground that were known as kotzer. But you may not be familiar with the fact that you may not even touch a tree. I mean, you shouldn't even move a tree. You shouldn't lean on a tree. Because the chazam and exer, if you lean on the tree or climb the tree, next thing you know, you'll pull something off the tree. Shabbat, it's famous then, if a person climbed the tree, amazing. He has to stay there the whole Shabbos. Some of my family's been climbing trees on Shabbos. Get around it, stay up there. What about a hammock, which is connected to a tree? You may have mentioned this before. You can't tie the hammock around the tree directly, but if you have a hook, which juts out from the tree and the hammock is attached to the hook, called Sidate Dodin, side of the side, and that's all right. Pointed out that a vase which has flowers is not muktzah, but you should not put flowers or branches into a vase of water on Shabbos. That's considered to be some kind of a waterant, even though it's detached from the ground, nevertheless it's prohibited. Nor should you add water on Shabbos to the vase. Okay. With this short trip, we took care of all the things that grow on Shabbos. That's it. You know, not so common for us, these questions. They come up from time to time. So too, we'll try to make short trips of animal, the animal kingdom. Planting it took 5 minutes. That's how long the animal kingdom takes. Parent comes out. Torah says, "Lo sasa kol malacha ato bincho mitecha avtecha v'amoscho v'hemtecha." Now, "Lo sasa kol malacha ato" refers to you. "Bincho mitecha" refers to boys under bar and girls under bas mitzvah. People make a terrible mistake and they think that they're, "I can't do it. I'll tell my little kid to do it for me." It's terrible. It's a Torah prohibition. "Lo sasa kol malacha ato bincho mitecha." You're not permitted to tell your son or daughter who are underage to put on the lights on Shabbos or do things of this nature. The Torah itself prohibits it. It's in a serious antithesis. I mean, come on. People don't realize this. What about Behemtecha? When it comes to Behemtecha, there exists the following prohibition. You may not do malacha yourself with your own hands, nor may you do malacha through an animal. How do you do malacha through an animal? Well, you guide your animal as he plows your field. Think of this nature. Our prohibition of the Torah's law, and Aseres Adibros, no less, of lo sasa kol malacha, ata bincha vitecha, av masa behemtecha, is a violation of Behemtecha. Behemtecha means your animal. Not only that, but even if the animal doesn't belong to you, as long as the animal is guided by you, you're in violation. Aside from that, there's a separate prohibition called Shavisat Behemto, in which your animal should rest, Laman Yanuach, that you should see that your animal doesn't do work, even if you're not doing the work. The animal is doing the work by itself, it's also a prohibition. This is Laman Yanuach Shachar V'chamorecha. Who remembers this famous story from the Gemara about the animal that refused to do work on Shabbos because, after all, it belonged to a Jew, and he had to sell it to a Goy, and all that he could tell him, you know, the story with a legend, with an addition, with an embellishment. You must have heard about this when you were growing up. But that's halacha. This is relevant even in a normal situation, without a farming situation. Let's say you have a dog, and the dog has a collar, and the dog is going to go out in the collar when there's no Erev. So in violation of the Laman Yanuach. Now this doesn't mean the animal has to keep Shabbos. An animal has to be Shomer Shabbos. An animal wants to go out to the yard and eat the grass. Stop! Stop! Shabbos! Throw the rock at the animal. That's ridiculous. An animal is not chayav in Shabbos. You are not supposed to work the animal for your purposes, for Shabbos. Because the Man Yanuach means it should work, it shouldn't be rested as far as you're concerned. It doesn't have to starve. The animal wants to take the grass off the ground, it's fine.
Why can't the dog wear collar?
Hold saw, carry. One of the 39 work categories of work, you're not allowed to carry, discuss it. A human being can't carry, it's going out at the very beginning of this term.
But anything,
but if, I mean, if it's not any grass, why can't he just wear his towel? It's not uncomfortable.
That's a big difference. The grass is something which he eats for his own sake. The collar, he doesn't want a collar. The collar is for your sake. You don't want the animal to get lost. That's not for his sake, it's for your sake. That's the difference. You're right, I think it's a cold day. You put a coat, is that the right word to use? On the dog? What's the word they use? Right. You know, you've seen his coat there? That's a sweater, a couple of times on a coat. That's all right, because that's for his sake. All right? Now, you may arrange it that you should not
Is that different?
Arab is a very great question. As an Arab, it's no problem. As long as the dog relies on the Arab. But if the dog relies on the Arab, then it's not a problem.
Really? It's not for
Question is, what if you're going to have something on the animal so it shouldn't run away? Yes?
What if it's like a flea collar? It's for his own
sake. So he shouldn't have ticks and fleas. I hear it on the radio all the time. That's okay. That's fine, that's for his own benefit. What if it shouldn't run away, but if it runs away, it's bad for the animal itself, it's going to get lost. The animal, when it's in your possession, you take care of the animal, you feed the animal, etc. If the animal's going to run away, so then it's going to die, and then it's okay. Then it's, the animal's interest has to be under your control. Let's say you have to watch the animal so it shouldn't run away, and you need what we call a leash. Can you walk in the street with a leash if there's no air? First glance, it would be terrible. You're carrying, no? Carrying a leash? So the answer is mutter. As long as you don't wrap the leash around your hand. If you wrap it around your hand, that's considered carrying the extra. But just holding on to it at one point and have the leash connected to the animal, that would be considered permissible. Yes?
Would that be a problem if
the
leash drags
him
down?
It could be. It may also be considered carrying. Drags. Okay. You can't ride an animal. You can't ride a horse on chops. Even if there's no malach, there's an eruv. Still can't ride a horse on chops. Okay. You're allowed to feed an animal on Shabbos if it's an animal for which you have responsibility. It belongs to you, or you're somehow responsible to feed it. Then you or someone else on your behalf can may feed the animal on Shabbos. However, if you have no such obligation, it's a wild animal, it doesn't belong to you or anybody, you may not feed the animal on Shabbos. There are various reasons for giving, some that you may come to actually trap the animal subsequently, which is an easier concern. And therefore, he writes, it's not proper. Now what people do is they put out food for the animals or the birds on Shabbos Shira. Because that's not right. You want to put out before Shabbos. Tashlich. People don't throw things. They just throw because they want to throw their sins away. That's a different reason. Yes, that's the reason. Yantiv are also more lenient. Yantiv is some measure of, but still, you shouldn't, if that's your intention, you shouldn't do it. The animal starving to death, and then the post can say, Tzar Bala Chaim, it's okay. Okay, that takes care of feeding the animals. Next, trapping animals. One of the 39 categories we're going to say though, you may not hunt, but trap. Because no one goes hunting here on Shabbos or during the week for that matter either. But the problem is you sometimes have different kinds of insects or the like, which you want to trap, so they shouldn't bother you or sting you. What happens in that kind of a case? So, this is as follows. Seda means you restrict the animal, bird, insect to a very small space. By Torah law, it has to be so small that you can gain control of it with relative ease. In other words, if I trap a fly in this room, that's not, he's not trapped. You can fly it forever and I'll elude my my attempts to get a hold of it. You trap him in a little cup, then that's considered trapped. Let's say you trap a bird in rooms such as this. So by Torah law, it's not considered trapped because it can still fly around there. By rabbinic law, it's considered trapped. So how do you, have any pets in the house? Do you have any pets? Do you have a problem? How do you close the door on Shabbos in the house? When you close the door, you're in effect trapping the pet. Otherwise, it could have run out the door. Now you close the door. It's a trap.
What if it never is a pet that you only take it out on a leash, so it never runs out on its own?
That far. He talks about a domesticated animal that never runs away. He gives an example: a cow, sheep. I don't know. I guess I never really had to deal with these creatures. I never run away. There's no easier of tzeda. You can put it into its cage, you can put it into its room. Not a problem. But, even a domesticated animal that usually runs away from a person when he gets near it, most animals and birds, then there's at least a rabbinic prohibition of tzedek. But that's a problem when it comes to birds. You open the cage, close the cage. Open the cage, it's fine. You can't close it once the bird flies back in again. Big problem. Do I have a bird in the house? So what do you do with the birds?
The birds, our birds, we leave the cage to open all the time and they go out during the day and they go in by themselves.
The cage is open all the time, it's great.
Yeah, they know what to do.
And from a bird, they know that.
They tell them to go to sleep.
It's only okay. It's always open or always closed, no problem. The problem is closing on Shabbos.
Closing the rainforest.
Let's say you have we actually discussed earlier, if you recall, I think it was just last week, no? About insects that could bite you or could sting you. We discussed that with mosquitoes and with bees. I want to repeat what we spoke about last week. The whole chapter about milking cows on Shabbos. Very fascinating chapter for the Israeli kibbutzim. We're going to skip it. But it's very complicated, really, it's very complicated. Milk machines. How do you do it? It's very not related to what's directly, but it's good. Alright? Good. This finishes chapter 27, so this took about 10 minutes. We're just going fast. Now we come, I hope to do two more chapters very slow. 28. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. 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 I oh, why is that considered a rule? You hold up to the leash?
I just walked
the dog Friday night. Yeah.
So you're
just going
to leash
the dog. Well, isn't the leash on before? Collar. You still have to manage to get the collar off the leash onto the collar as you try to without touching the dog itself. Is that doable? But an animal is not a person, it's not a food, and it's not a utensil. That makes it look to my definition.
Were you still
there?
Like
Sean? We spoke about this. We spoke about this.
That's not such a surprise. A week of charge.
Okay, I'm taking attendance. My brand new attendance sheet. We set up today. All right. No absence so far. Yes. Even now you should feel it. Touch the movie.
He said it's a palm. Can't play with it.
Okay, Rebecca Rader here.
Okay.
Rita. Miriam Charnoff. Laura Chesner.
What?
Amy Cohn. Sarah Alicious.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
sorry. You just
okay. Shani Pollock?
Here.
Okay. Shani Fell? Okay. Benita Fennig? Okay. Ilana Fishkin? Deborah Palamholtz? Deborah's here? Okay. Alisa Frankel? Yeah? Where's Alisa? Okay, I'm sorry. Shoshana Frisch, okay. Meredith Kaysen, Laura Gadot, Tamima Goldberg, Laura Gottesman, Deborah Gottesman, Lori Gottesman, yes, Lori, you can. Karen Gottlieb. No? Yael Gottlieb? Amara Green? Showing it, miscellanea. What if you have a book which has a library book which has you know, Mendel got us from the library, they call it that, Pollock Library? Library, whatever it is, the library, New York Public Library. So may you open the book on Nanat Shabbos. So when you open the book, you're breaking the word and you're on each letter and you're closing the book, you're starting the letters again. So ideally, you shouldn't do it. Thought about it, huh? So you should try to avoid this. Alright? Stuck, absolutely stuck. must open the book so he can, there's room to be lenient. Just don't close the book. If you have to close it, put a piece of paper in between that when it closes, that won't form the letter. It will say over here, it's library, and it says half here and half here, it'll never form it. The papers in between. You have to put two different papers, three different papers. Don't close it with the word forming in the fire. Yes?
If you know that you're
going
to need to use that book over Shabbos,
you can put papers in before Shabbos.
And then fine?
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Also, you can't cut open a book on Shabbos. Those books don't come completely cut. The pages are not stuck.
Attached.
They made a mistake when the paper was made and mass produced. They didn't cut between the two pages. You may not cut between the two pages on Shabbos. It's like Makom HaPatish. I'm going to make the last step. However, if the pages got somehow stuck together with them, if you put the board to the table a little bit, grease got there and sort of sticks together, like the benches and things, then it's okay to take it apart. But you shouldn't erase any letters as a result. You may not open an envelope on Shabbos. Seal an envelope. Well, we'll get to that a little later. Okay. You may open and close a loosely notebook on Shabbos. However, the empty pieces of paper that we discussed in the week's Ar Mukta, according to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha, there's no obligation to remove the empty papers before Shabbos, since they're normally moved together with the remainder of the loose leaf. Why that's so important? Not only for loose leaves, it's also important for keys. We discussed before about the keys. You have to remove the car keys from the ring, and I said no, and others said yes. It seems to me that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Zatzal says yes, confirms my opinion. There's no need to remove those keys. They're just there ordinarily all the time. Perhaps. It's not exactly the same. Telephone book is a klisha malachto liyisu. It's used mostly to look at phone books. Phones, you're not allowed. You can't make phone calls on Shabbos. But you may move it to Tzorah Kupo or Makombo. You want to look up somebody's address on Shabbos. And the only place the address is found is in the phone book. It's okay. It's called Tzorah Kupo.
What about, I know for a phone book, some people use it, from a booster chair. Is that okay to use
a chair?
Like,
Start with Gufo. He's going to have a chair. It's fine. You may not make a place for yourself in a piece of paper by using, let's say, a fingernail and making a little scratch. Or you can't do that on shop. I was posting. Can't do that. You may fold papers, but you may not shape them. You can't make toy airplanes, toy boats, should not be done. Okay. Now we start the next topic in miscellanea, which is watches in the long box. He said you should not wind the watch on Shabbos, even when it's already running. Not everyone agrees, but that's how we assume. You may, however, wear an automatic watch which winds based upon the movements of your hand, even though in effect you're winding it, right? In fact, upon your hand, you're basically winding it. So he quotes a number of sources who say bad look, it's already going, you don't really understand why should be prohibited even to wind it directly. So you don't really understand why it should be a problem in the first place. Well, even though a mop would have to wind it with our own hands directly, but you can't prohibit putting it on your wrist. That's what Rabbi Zalman, that's how it's quoted to say. Got a question to ask? Napkins only in half. Not napkins to be a specialized shape. If the watch stops on Shabbos though, then you shouldn't put it on your wrist. Then you're really explicitly winding it as you start to go. Yes? Never heard of this watch? I don't know. Now they want, they're all now quartz watches. Now they what can I say? When I grew up, you used to have to wind your watch every day. I know you think it's from the dark ages. You had to wind your watch like, you know, every day like this, and it just stopped after a day. Then they had this modern invention called the self-winding watch. That would have been described here. Now they have the quartz watch, which will have batteries. That's, you'll have to wear it, but you should not, if it's not running, then you should just, you really should leave where it is. Unless it's a decorative piece. You can't press the buttons on it on this watch, you know? The button tells you the time, tells you this, tells you that. That's a problem. Could be. But we try to avoid one watch. Yes? We're not out today yet. Nothing to do with this. We're still playing watch, not Shabbos clock. Playing watch. No, completely unrelated. Completely unrelated. Okay? This is as far as watches are concerned. We don't consider the watch to be moved, so you don't have a battery in it. Because the main thing is the watch. Interesting question concerns moving the time. Oh, I look at my watch. Whoop, the clock is... My clock is slow, as a matter of fact. Am I correct? Yeah. A minute or two slow?
Yeah.
Because I want to change it from 6:35 to 6:37. You do that on Shabbos? So the Shmir Shabbos says yes, and I say no. Because, and he quotes in the Bible that Rav Shlomo Zalman thought of the problem. Called a tikkun kli. Minhag Yerushalayim, he says, it's prohibited moving the handle. That's what I call it. What does it mean?
What's the reasoning for people saying it's okay?
It's okay. They say that you can't wind the watch because it doesn't move, it's considered broken. But if it's 5 minutes fast, no problem. You just always subtract 5 minutes. A little ridiculous, no? But that's what it says. I don't understand it too well myself. Now, alarm clocks. Shmir Shabbos says, if you want to wake up in the morning to go to shul, to wind the watch from before Shabbos. But sometimes, if you leave it on, it'll go off instead of going off at 8 o'clock in the morning. It'll go off at 8 o'clock in the evening, and go. It's pointless. See, he has an interesting heter over here. So it's called a manual clock. Shut down the bell so that when 8 o'clock p.m. comes, nothing's going to happen. So it'll be shut. Then you pull the thing up, and the old style alarm clock. Pull it up. So when 8 a.m. comes around, it'll make noise. He actually permits this on Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos. Well, we're not there yet. And even since you're allowed to move the handles of the alarm clock to the right time to wake you up. So he writes over here at that time. So simple. What? You're right.
No. Setting the shock before Shabbos means like cranking it up.
Cranking it up, right. Cranking it up. Okay. Crank it from before Shabbos. The reason why certain lineages are expressed here because they're considered to be in the category of rubber. It's only a delayed reaction. I do something now, but the noise won't go off for another 12 hours. Moving the hours of the alarm, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal's quote is saying it's considered permissible. It's not considered that you fix something which is broken. But you see, alarm clocks are always made to move. One day you get up at 7, next day you get up at 8, next day you get up at 6, next day you get up at 9. But even if we consider it prohibited, which I do, to move the handles of a clock that's supposed to be in the right time, the wrong time is considered broken. When it comes to an alarm, it's not considered broken. You're always going back and forth. Yes.
What about
the
alarm clock?
We haven't gotten to the electric yet. So what about manual? Let's say the alarm clock goes off, the manual clock. And you want to close it, so it shouldn't make any noise. Mutter, he says. The winding time. Stop from continuing to make noise, but it's an electronic alarm clock. Then you have a problem. If you turn it off, you are stopping an electrical circuit. So Shlomo Zalman Zatzal said it's prohibited. No, it's prohibited to turn it off. So what do you do? This happens sometimes. You suddenly look up front before you go to sleep and you see, there's an alarm. Right? I mean, it's going to go off tomorrow at 6:30. You want it until 9:30. The only way I think you can do it is to turn down the volume.
What if there's no volume?
How is it going to go with me? No volume. Oh. Right.
Move it out of the room.
Move it to a different place. I'm talking about the electric stuff, and you can't move. You can turn the volume down to zero. So the next morning, the officially it's going to go on, and the dial will light up. We just won't hear it because it'll be a 5 or 0. Yes?
What if you don't hear the
antenna
reaction?
Can
you catch
what, the start already?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
That is so.
What do you do? Put towels over it. Truth to tell, Rav Shlomo Zalman is not so convincing. He uses any alarm clock on Shabbos. He doesn't like the idea of a clock because it's called Mashmiya Kol. They're making a voice to be heard on Shabbos. So it's a noise to be heard. It's better to avoid using it completely if you can. And as long as of course, you may wake up late for shul, all right, just balance it off one against the other. It's very important. For an oversleep for sure, you can set it. It's better to avoid it. Speaking about Hashmoah's kol, the rabbi said you may not make certain noises on Shabbos. It depends what kind of noise you're making. If you are making a noise with a specialized instrument, such as a musical instrument, a bell, a toy made for noise, a whistle, you shouldn't make any noise on Shabbos, even if it's not considered what we call, quote, derech shir. Since the kli is made for shir, you can't make any noise with it, even muktzah. He prohibits, for example, the chazan's tuning fork, which some chazanim use on Shabbos to get the right key. That's a little weird. Somewhere else, a little longer discussion.
Baby rattle.
Baby rattle.
That was your musical.
Well, if you give it to the baby, is it the main purpose to rattle or just to hold? The main point is noise?
For the baby?
Shouldn't pick it up. Maybe it grabs itself. Maybe. However, if it's not intended primarily to make noise, then you may make noise with it, but shalom b'derech shir. Not in the manner of musical instrument or keeping a rhythm. So therefore, he paskins that you may take a spoon and bang it against a bottle in order to get quiet. You ever hear that? Quiet, quiet, quiet. And you may knock with a key on a door to make noise that should let you in, but not in a rhythmic fashion. Because rhythms are prohibited, like music. You can make noise with pots and pans to wake up the sleeping. You know, in the yeshiva, everyone sleeps. They can't, they take a pot and they start banging to wake them up. That's okay. But not with a specific rhythm. Now, he says you're not allowed to bang on the table with a certain rhythm, not with your utensil, not with your hand, not with your feet on the floor. But in my opinion, it's only prohibited if you're making noise. See what? See what I'm doing? I'm still going like this. I'm still going like this to myself. It makes almost no noise at all. It's just keep the rhythm in, man. I think that's okay because you're not making noise. Just for yourself, keeping the beat. If you're doing it very loud. You want to know that's not allowed.
And then can you clap?
So what about clapping? To wake somebody up, it's okay. But to clap, keep the beat of the song, is not allowed. Unless you do it with a shinui. So my opinion is sufficient shinui would be to clap like this. If you're a righty, you don't clap like this. All right, it's kind of like this, Larry. All right, like this, right on the left hand, right? So, I think so, no? So if you clap lefty, which is like this, the lefty clap, that'll be okay. Shinun. Some say clap like this. That hurts. Yeah, that hurts. Clap like this, lefty. That should be that with Shinun. If it's for a mitzvah, I says, well, maybe it can be leaded, like they have their various heter. Like, for example, dancing. I'm supposed to dance at Shabbos or Yom Kippur. The Mishnah. But for a simple Shal mitzvah, there were those who expressed the leniency. Like the simple Chasa Mikala, some say. And they said it's a Kiruv, and by the way, it's Tish. Everything's a mitzvah already. So the whole four Mishnah sort of went down the tubes. Right? The one day prohibited. So I don't. When I am, I'm called on to dance on Shabbos, I just sort of do what they call the yeshiva shuffle. It's basically walking, that's all it is really. I don't know if you guys call it dancing. You shouldn't snap your fingers in a tune in a rhythmic way, you know. Whistling's okay. Because that's using your... like talking. Whistling's like talking, you're using your mouth. Some say you should do it all week long. Oh, because all the shade of the demons come out when you whistle. That's the difference. I'm sure your grandmother said that, no doubt. To be paid for work done on Shabbos. Who is in violation? Basically, the person who receives the Sechar Shabbos. a big problem. Waiters, all is a big problem. Well, Rabbi. what? Group leaders, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Waiters, oh, it's a big problem. Well, Rabbi, enough to start us through the week, it's not a problem. Okay. You may not even receive Schar Shabbos from a non-Jew. A non-Jew wants to pay for Rabbanan Shabbos, even that's the problem. So you may pay to an non-Jew, I told you before. Now, so what's going on? How do you do all, what's going on? Everyone does it. Well, the only time Schar Shabbos is prohibited is if it's direct payment for work or for services or for whatever done on Shabbos and Shabbos alone. But you may be paid for work or service provided on Shabbos, as long as what we call Bahavlo. Literally swallowed up in stuff which is before or after Shabbos. But when is it considered swallowed up? It's considered swallowed up when all of the work constitutes one unit. What does that mean? That means that you are a regular babysitter. You babysit all the time. You have to be on constant availability. And if you don't come, so then the person will have complaints against you. Then, if you work on Shabbos as well, if you're in the week, you can be paid for Shabbos also. But if it's a kind of a relationship, where either party can back out at any time without any expectation of any complaint on the other side, and then you're going to make a calculation at the end how many days the person worked, that is prohibited. So therefore, a babysitter, a tutor, or something of this nature, just maybe do it on a regular basis, you'll have to be paid for work on Shabbos. But it's only if you're set, fixed all the time, but just once in a while, and if you don't show up, or if the person won't hire you, they'll hire a different babysitter or a different tutor, then you'll have no complaint against them, then it should not be done. Even when it's permissible to receive money for work on Shabbos, you can't actually hire someone on Shabbos, or be hired on Shabbos. Therefore, we try to look at, for example, a waiter. A waiter works in Shabbos in a hotel, but they have to work on Friday also. Got to set up on Friday. It's all part of the same job. They'll say, I'm not coming on Friday, only on Shabbos. So I have a strong complaint against it. That's considered havlah. One big salary for all the work. It used to be a custom that the person would daven the fancy chazan, would daven Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, would also daven the first slichas. Well, havlah. Pay for the whole season. Even rental, if you rent something out, is also part of Schar Shabbos. I rent you a room or I rent you a vessel, so you should have it included the time before Shabbos or after Shabbos. Any work which requires preparation for before Shabbos, you may receive your reward, your salary. Agav, incidental to the hachana from before Shabbos. That's what the post can talk about. Someone gets a laming job. Valkyrie, they all get paid. How come? But they get paid for preparing, which they do before Shabbos. The
While Carlos have a pet on Friday night, he doesn't come out so well. Unless he's a very experienced individual. You go to a hotel, they charge you money for Shabbos. What's going on? Well, number one, you're there from Friday afternoon until Saturday night. Number two, you're paying not only for the rent, you're paying for the expenses. Of course, the hotel owner has certain out-of-pocket expenses to take care of you. Food, for cleaning the room service, all these things of this nature. It's considered havlah, considered paying for the sum total. That's also true. But they have to pay for using a mikvah Shabbos. So it's also okay. Because it's not just for the going into the mikvah, it's for all the expenses. The heating expenses, the cleaning expenses before Shabbos, and in addition to Shabbos itself. That's why you're allowed also to pay to get into a zoo on Shabbos. Park or zoo, or you can give it a ticket that you bought before Shabbos. It's okay, it's not called Schar Shabbos for the zoo. The rent is to let you go in, because you're paying them for the upkeep from before Shabbos. What about for a Dvar Mitzvah? Maybe paid for doing a Mitzvah on Shabbos, like a Baal Tokeya. Or a Chaz. No havlo. So, some say yes, some say no. Big dispute. Well, if you practice, let's say you don't practice. See, if you try to make arrangement in havlo, chad should go sliches, bal pekesh should blow an elul, a little bit, into this nature. Okay. A doctor or a nurse who's called an emergency for Shabbos are permitted to take money. But they shouldn't talk about it on Shabbos itself. Some doctors would never take money for when they go to work, when they work on Shabbos. It's a matter of principle. There was one doctor I know who would never take money for Shabbos. What happened? All the pediatricians, all the mothers would wait till Shabbos to bring their kids and put free to the doctor. I kid you not. I kid you not. What do you think? So he had to start charging money. He's going to give us this stuff. I heard it from the doctor. I mean, yes. It's another story. You shouldn't receive schabbat even during the week. Not little shabbos. This is what you should do for nothing. Yeah, but there are many overriding considerations that's permitted. That's not so, there's many cases of that. Right, there's separate prohibition.
A
doctor's treating a guy. No. Okay, now we go to the next important topic of this chapter 28, Chavches, which is Hachono. Very important. Hachana means preparing for Shabbos for during the week. Not allowed. What is Hachana? Not even coming up together. Pesach soon. You can't prepare from the first day Pesach to the second day Pesach. Nor can you prepare for Shabbos yet, for Shavuot. Shavuot is Sunday, Monday. You can't prepare for Shabbos to Sunday. You can't prepare from Sunday to Monday. It's quite difficult. We shall soon see. You're sort of tied up in knots. You can't even prepare from one Shabbos to the next. That's relevant, as we shall see. And this is even for a mitzvah. What's hachana? Anything a person does which you don't need for today, even if it's only a small amount of tircha, bother, for example, you can't prepare food for Matzah Shabbos, nor from Shabbos to Yantav, nor from Yantav 1 to Yantav 2. You can't wash the dishes, unless you need the dishes that day, or unless the dishes are such a eyesore, you just can't stand looking, you don't know where to put them, or they're going to attract bugs, things of this nature. But you can't wash not a safe time Matzah Shabbos, that's the basic thrust. So, what do you do with the dishes? What do you do with them? Well, I spoke that you can hire dishes in the oven. And we have a dishwasher, we stack them in the dishwasher. That's okay, because we're not doing the same time for both the shops. So just doing it because you just want to get it out of the way. Yes? You just shake off, or vitamins, or just the actual dirt, because you don't want. I'm not going to make it clean, just don't want the yucky stuff around. And then you can, that's okay. Yes? Clear the table. Well, Friday night's obviously okay. Shabbos obviously okay. Only question is Shalosh Shudas. Right? When you... Okay. Sorry?
What if
it's
an
ice cream? Right. So the apostle can say, if you can't stand the looks of it, then it's grounds to be lenient. Every balabasta has to be true to himself or herself. What is really bothering you or not. Yes?
What about emphasize Sudash Vashi? If you use the shawl, like, dirty, you know, the Balabas can get very upset and want to bite and just like that. So,
ooh, that's a big problem. Yeah. Why can't you come back after Abdullah and just do it then?
Because, you know, like, don't take so long time. It's not, Shabbos doesn't end
since
it's July, so like 2 hours after Shabbos
ends. So. People should come back until the Shabbos really ends and clean up then. I think that'll be better. There's absolutely no alternative, then maybe there's a ground to believe in. I'm telling explain to you why. The rule is that it's permissible to do Hakana if your intention is not to save time, but rather to prevent damage. For example, you left something out in the yard, and it's about to start to rain. You bring it back into the house. You don't need it till tomorrow. But that's really good. You still shouldn't get damaged. Another example, you finish eating lunch, and you're left with chicken. You may put the chicken back into the refrigerator. You may not have to eat it till tomorrow. You're not really going to say, you just know it shouldn't get ruined. Yes.
Let's say you're something does for a shop and we have a conference. Are you allowed to have the first thing like a week or a week of clear? And just to be nice because it's
well, if it's Friday night, the answer is yes. If Shabbos, the answer is yes. If Shabbos should is.
But then, if you can't, then can it also be under a green or a fine? Like, you can already change that. I mean, if it's not Jewish week or a week, they might say, oh, this is like.
I never heard of help with the way to clear the closet. I'll tell you, pay good money for the way they should do the work, no?
No, but like,
I
feel like you
pick
up five dishes off the thing, or like,
oh yeah?
Or like, we stack.
Yeah? Wow, great. I thought the waiters was, I'm not very, don't go to hotels too often. But, shallow sugars would be a problem. Yes?
And then it has to do with dishes, but is there, when you're clearing the table, that you're not supposed to, like,
let's What's wrong?
I was simply listening. It said, don't fear about this power.
I don't see the problem.
When I learned that, sometimes it was because it's just disgusting for the guests to look at. And I'm serious.
Okay, it's disgusting for the guests to look at, and it's not a hot. You're moving into maybe the room is a nice place to be in. He said over here that a person should not go to sleep on Shabbos and say, ah, I'm going for a nap now so I can stay up late tonight. Shouldn't say that. That's a chumrah, really. You certainly may sleep on Shabbos if it's your intention to stay up late. Just don't talk about it. You can't prepare on Shabbos the yayin for the wine for Abdullah. You shouldn't bring a sitter to shul. Not one of the Shabbos. Even as an Arab. Purim, you shouldn't bring a Megillah to shul on Shabbos. Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't bring a Sligas to shul on Shabbos. You do all preparations for Motzoi Shabbos. What do you do? Read it before Shabbos if you can. Do you make the beds on Shabbos? Well, if it's the house shouldn't look messy, then it's okay. Same thing with the Shalashudas. If this house shouldn't look messy or shouldn't attract bugs, then it's okay. I mentioned to you before that achronah is permissible if it's to avoid a loss, right? To move something from the yard into the house, it should get stolen, etc. That heter I agree with. There's another heter which I do not agree with over here. I'll tell you about it. In the Shmir Shabbos, says, quote, something which is no tircha, and people are used to doing it without thinking about what the purpose is ultimately, you may do it on Shabbos, even if it's really for purposes of Motzei Shabbos, as long as you don't say anything about it. For example, he says, you can carry in Pala's home on Shabbos. I don't agree. Have it on, I don't take it off. You can put things in this refrigerator after you finish the meal. I agree for a different reason. Otherwise, it's going to get spoiled. You can soak dishes which have greasy remnants in a case in which if you wait till after Abdullah, it'll adhere very strongly. It'll be very hard to wash it after Shabbos. I agree again, but not for his reason. But here, it's preventing a loss. The loss is the adhesion the subsequent hours. You're allowed to walk out on Shabbos just before dark, carrying the key, what is the name, so you can get back into your house amongst your Shabbos. I again agree, but that's for his reason. Because you're doing it not to save time, you're doing it because otherwise you can go locked out. Won't be able to get into your house. Prevent the loss in effect. May you prepare on Yom Tov Shabbos when Yom Tov falls out on Friday? The answer, Jake, according to most authorities, is yes. According to most, even without an Erev Tavshilin, coming up with Seventh Day Pesach, you prepare for Shabbos. Okay. Any questions about Achana? Very important topic. Yes. Yeah, but Shabbos is a higher level of Kedusha. Go up, not down. Yes. Well, your mother can't stand the looks of it, so it's okay. It's not called the Hakam Kibbut Avei, it's okay. It's okay because your mother can't stand the looks of it. You can give it at someone else's house, not your mother. Still put it. I said before, you came over here from Shabbos to Shabbos. As you want to carry a talis home, you have a special Shabbos talis. Or special Shabbos something or other. You're going to carry it home now to use it for next Shabbos. Still not allowed. Well, it's stolen. It's mutter. I once had a cat talis stolen on Shabbos. Or around Shabbos. Yes?
Can we say that
I'm studying
for
midterms? What's that? For my midterm, it's okay. It's better. Even though the midterm will be given Tuesday night, mutter. Shlemazama's matter. He must have been talking about my midterm. He said, you're allowed to study anything where the information itself is important. Like if you're about prayer for the Megillah. Once you shout, you're allowed to read. That's okay.
So what about something not secular
subjects? Secular subjects? Shabbos. We haven't even had that Akhlana. It's not right to do on Shabbos. Yes?
You said before that if Yom comes down on Friday, then you can prepare for Shabbos.
That's correct.
Even if I'm
that's correct.
So what's the point of having air for
to be able to cook for Friday Shabbos. Let me talk about Achanah without any malach. I should add one more case before I forget. In my opinion, not everyone agrees with me, you're not permitted to remove food from the freezer for the next day. So when Shavuos comes along, you can't take the stuff out on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos, and not on Sunday for Sunday night. He's going from Shabbos to Yontif to Yontif. Or his second Seder coming up now. Can't move something in the freezer on the first day Pesach of Shabbos for this use for the second Seder. You can't do any preparations at all until way late. Oh, that's why the second Seder is so late. You can't start washing the dishes for the second Seder until after the night. Yes. I mean, post facto. It's a good question. If you'll encourage him to do it again, then no. Oh yeah? Could be a flicker in that case. The hotel is a big problem. Who goes to a hotel in Pesach? Anybody go to a hotel? What are they doing? It's a terrible thing. There was such a big rush because it's so late, especially this is daylight savings time. What do you do? So I always pass it for the hotel, but they're not allowed to do hachmana themselves, nor through a goy. When you discuss laws of of Amir Lanakri, that'll come up in Mitzvah Shem after the midterm. Next big topic. But in some places they were permitted it. They said, well, it's a Rabbana, to a guy for a mitzvah, blah, 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 blah. This was the basis of $1 million lawsuit. $1 million lawsuit over this issue. Where? California. Anybody from California? Right. L.A.?
Yes.
Right. So Rabbi Weiss from the Beth Jacob? Beverly Hills? Where is it? He used to live in Riverdale. So we always said, we can't do this. So when he moved to L.A., and the caterer asked him, said no. So he was not in supervision to this caterer. So he was sued for $1 million. And it was said that they didn't allow it in Israel, da 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 da. I was very impressed, $1 million lawsuit. I thought that was a tremendous amount of money. So I got sued for $4.5 million.
Oh my God.
The lawsuit's still pending out there. $4.5 million they want for you.
For what?
I heard I'm the Gene Stern this year. I figured I had a lot of more, much more money, so $1.5 million should be no problem. We took away Ashkafra, so $1.5 million. Sure. won't go into that story. I'm just saying, but $1 million now doesn't mean, I'm not so impressed by that figure anymore. Yes. Yeah, no, I'm trying to forget. Not even for a minute, no. Good problem. You have to be very smart to figure that out in advance, you know? Kenny's got a freezer, so what do? So you take it out Friday night for Shabbos meal, and then have it left over for Mother Shabbos. And then take it out again on Sunday, the Sunday meal, left over for Sunday night. You know, that kind of thing you have to do. Okay, finally today, Perek Chavtes. 29th chapter. It's called Laws of Shabbos Mipia Kabbalah. Kabbalah does not mean mysticism. Kabbalah means from Divrei Nevi'im. It's based on a pasuk in Tanakh, in the Navi Yeshaya, where we are taught as follows. In Toshiv Mishabos Raglecha, some say this before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Asos Chafatzecha V'yom Kachi, V'karos Ola Shabbos Oneg, V'kosh Hashem V'kubot, So Oneg Shabbos we spoke about. Kavod Shabbos we spoke about at the beginning of last term. All about the laws of eating and the laws of nice clothes and the laws of candles, etc. But here, we come to the second part of the pasuk. V'chibadato me'asos drachecha. Drachecha means to walk. You should walk differently on Shabbos than during the week. What does that mean? That you shouldn't walk too fast on Shabbos. You ever say Zviris? Ho simbo, nu, siya ketana. You're supposed to walk with, or what other Zviris? Hivu chach, tehei, nobody knows? Nachas, go slowly. They say it's when the Hasidim walk with their hands behind their back after the shul. And you can't walk too fast that way. That's what they say. You shouldn't run on Shabbos for sure, except for a Dvar Mitzvah. It's permissible. It says, Durachecha Asurim. But Darkei Shamayim, the word for a Mitzvah, is Mutter. You let it run. Nor should a person walk to check out his business on Shabbos. To his farm, if he's a farmer, to his office, if he's a businessman. But for a business, okay. What does that mean? A person allowed to walk near the tchum or near a bus stop, so that as soon as Shabbos comes, he'll be able to jump on the bus or jump on for the purpose of a mitzvah. Again, same idea. Is it hachana? It's a very good question. Is it achana? The answer is no, because it's not what we call achana nikeres. You can't really tell. He's going for a walk? No, not money. Not, say he has a way to get out without money. I don't know. Made an arrangement. Okay. Mimso cheftzecha. As we say, and everyone knows, this chafotzecha asurim. You cannot do your business transactions or needs on Shabbos. You can't hire workers on Shabbos. You can't even hire them now to do work after Shabbos. You can't talk about payment on Shabbos. You can't buy, you can't sell. As a rule, certain exceptions, but they're rare these days. Even a gift should not be given on Shabbos. If you need it to use on Shabbos, then it's okay. Let's say an esrog or a lulav. Give for a gift that you can fulfill the mitzvah. That's okay. If you want to give a gift to your balabos, you're invited there for a Shabbos meal, you should try to give it in a way that it's long since before Shabbos. How do you do that? Go to a friend and say, listen, you acquired this on behalf of Mr. X. It's called Zachar La'adim Shalom Bafana. You acquired it on Friday afternoon before Shabbos begins. That's okay. Yeah?
What about advertising for business on Shabbos?
No like, way!
Not like professionally, but just telling people about
no
it.
No way! business advertising on Shabbos. Not allowed. If someone brings you a Shabbos gift, the receiver should have in mind not to acquire it until after Shabbos is over. Bottle of wine, all these kind of things.
You can't use it.
If you're drinking the wine, it's okay, but if you're not, then you should just have in mind not to... Yes?
About advertising. I mean,
you know, you say
the TV station thing,
but
you give them the time exactly when you want to hear.
Add to run.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
even on Thursday, you can't say, I want my
advertising. No, but that's really for a different reason. That's A, it's advertising. B, pull out me with a number. That's next time. After the midterm. We'll get to that. 2 weeks, Two weeks can still be, no?
Yes.
Yeah. You're not permitted to weigh or measure things on Shabbos. To weigh with a scale, to measure with a ruler, unless it's for a mitzvah. Let's say you have to know how much the shear is for Kazayas Matzah, something like that. Measure the cup for Kiddush. For a sick person to be permitted to allow much food to give him. You're allowed to take someone's temperature on Shabbos. That's a big problem. So give me the old time religion, the old time thermometer. That's fine. Now, here is the, this is the most unbelievable thing. Which I don't know what to tell you. You know, I don't know what to tell you. There exists a law in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Mishnah, the Gemara and Shabbos, called Shtorei Hedyotos. What does Shtorei Hedyotos mean? Business documents. Hedyotos, that's what it's called. Business documents. Not supposed to read them on Shabbos. Should go window shopping, look at the prices. Should look at the bus schedule on Shabbos. Even the catalogs you should look at on Shabbos. Even plain letters, according to the Shulchan Aruch, should not be read on Shabbos. Certainly not business letters or things of this nature. Divrei Torah letters, that's okay. That's okay. What about newspapers? Well, it's a big problem. Some say it's okay, some say it's not okay. I don't mean the ads, that's for sure, Alex. I don't mean the business section, that's for sure. I mean just the news. I think it's just depressing. Takes away from the simple shops, that's what I think. Isn't it depressing, the news?
Usually.
If you have a Dvar Torah in the newspaper, at least for the news, that's okay. But beyond that, I think it should stay away from it.
If the delivery of the newspaper on Shabbos.
That's another big problem.
What?
I'm thinking even about Friday's paper, Thursday's paper. Saturday's paper is much worse. There's a whole side point that even Tuesday shouldn't read the newspaper. Because the secular papers are against the Torah, Lashon Hara, da da da. And it makes you feel bad news on Shabbos. Somebody finds somebody died on Shabbos. Or they do the prophets somewhere else throughout the world on Shabbos. Or the religion's in bad shape. All these things that shouldn't read because it makes you feel bad. I mean, papers make you feel bad, don't they? How much good news do you read in the newspapers? Very rare. Just don't read newspapers on Shabbos, period. That's all. Better not. I can't say it's an absolute prohibition. It's certainly not advisable. Because you're not spelling out how you're going to get there. Go in Israel. Yeah, I know, but they didn't say it explicitly. Is there any quotes over here? Okay, this brings us to the end of the 29th chapter of this wonderful volume. So I want to reiterate the next week is the Bechina. I'm going to come here hopefully about 20 after 5 with the Bechinas. And you can start early, I hope. I want to review what the Bechina covers. It covers a lot of material. It covers chapters. Please. 16 through 29 inclusive. Wow. That's 14 chapters, right? A lot of chapters. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be here. Believe it or not, I'll be here. So, one second, please. If for some reason the person cannot be here for the 10th, for some overriding circumstance, let me know now. So I can take kind of an over the range. Okay? So, Mitch, I'll see you next week, and we'll continue learning in 2 weeks. It's okay. On the ceiling.